hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. The world is waking up, and this is the tipping point.
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott McKay coming to you here on the 15th of November. We're halfway through the month. We got a pretty important day today. Many of you know that there will be an announcement by President Trump, Commander-in-Chief Trump. I saw maybe a truth. I don't know what you call these things. It's in the tweet. It's not a Twitter. A truth drop out there today. If it was his, says that tonight's announcement is going to be, this will turn out to be one of the most important days in American history. What does that mean? I have no idea. Oh, by the way, you're listening to Patriot Street Fighter broadcast on American Media Periscope. Many of you people are watching it on Rumble, psfrumble.com, where we stream everything to. You can find us on Brighty on BitChute. You can find any connection to all social media at the new Patriot Street Fighter website. Check that out if you have yet to do that. So we've been talking throughout the day on a couple different shows, and I've been talking about this past couple of days and the election, of course, on Tuesday, and I got a call early in the evening when the polls are closing to come on a Zoom, which I did gracefully and gratefully. And I was asked pretty quickly what my view was on what was happening and who these races, that races. And I said, I have no idea. I don't know, even know who the candidates are. I knew of Kerry Lake. I knew of Oz and PA, the kind of the big media names out there. And I just said, I just got to tell you, it's first time in 30 years that I have not followed the election cycle. I have not followed the election on election day. I didn't monitor. I didn't analyze things as they were unfolding. First time in 30 years. So why would you do that? Well, just like I said in Branson, Missouri 2 weekends ago, I said, look, people say the election is not going to happen for this reason or that. And I've said, look, the election is going to happen on Tuesday. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to steal it again. That's what they're going to do. And guess what? That's exactly what they've done. I've had so many friends texting me, people reaching out, calling me all week, like, how could this happen? And when's the military going to step in, et cetera? I'm like, yeah, I guess they don't listen to my shows anymore. They wouldn't be calling me or texting me if they had been watching. I said, they're going to steal them. That's what they do. That's how they stay out of Gitmo. So am I all bent out of shape? No, it's exact. I had a very peaceful day for the first election day in my life since I was in my early 30s. And because I really don't give a shit, because the elections don't truly mean anything, because it is a crime wave of them shoving down your throat exactly what they want you to believe and have and do and become in this country, which was a slave and a pauper. So am I still at the same sense of peace before that? 100%. I wake up every day with a smile on my face. Why? I know the shit show is coming down. This is the stuff that's supposed to piss people off to finally wake up and realize, we got a country, we're going to lose it. Yeah, that's the point. That's why they're going to let these guys keep committing crimes until people come out of their slumber. So since we're talking about the election, I brought on one of the best voices, one of the most powerful voices we could bring on concerning election theft, because this young man, former Army intelligence officer, as he was watching what happened in 2016, predicted every single state accurately in the 2016 election. He was even more accurate than me, because I said, here's how many states that Trump's going to win. I said, hands down, he's going to win 2016, period. It's going to be big. This guy is a guy that predicted every single state exactly. I think the only guy in the whole country. 2020 rolls around, or before that, he starts following these elections and he can clearly see what's being done. Can see the theft. He's got, you know, he's got the proof. Donald Trump's retweeted him a number of times because, and talked about it because of what he has shown the world in terms of these elections and the machine these people have set up to steal your country. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in that man. This is Seth Ketchell. He's about 7'4". He's got a lot of things I'd like to tell you attributes about him, but I'll just stop right there. How are you, sir? You must be traveling in your rig right now. I can see the backdrop.
I'm actually just living in it. But yes, I am. I've been on the road a little bit lately. Things are slowed down a little bit based on election, or I would call it a quasi-election schedule, and also due to holidays approaching. But yeah, it's good to be on your show finally. We've been talking about doing this for months. I see you every month, and we finally got it done. So it's good to be in the show of a fellow election denier. And I just celebrated my 2-year birthday of election denialism, when in reality it should have been at least a 4-year birthday, but we were caught sleeping in 2018.
Yeah, well, I think we've been caught sleeping for a whole lot longer than I guess when people start realizing these elections have been stolen. So I got one question to ask you. This is very important intelligence that I need to know for myself. How was it in Branson you were able to get your bus pulled up there right smack face dab or butt first to that building up there that we were in? How were you able to pull that off? Because I know every time I try to get Cinderella to one of these events, I'm told there's not enough parking. We got people parking in the streets, blah, blah, blah. I now have my guys, security team, we roll up a day early. We recon the whole place. I'm like, oh, yeah, really? We're parking right there beside the building. I show up, didn't have Cinderella, and there you go. You're backed right up to the building. You could have stepped off your bus into a door. I'm like, how did he pull that shit off?
Well, the first thing is you learn the lessons of failure the hard way. The first day I got there, everything was full. And you know good and well the first step of driving a bus is to never take it into something you're not going to be able to get out of.
That's right.
I wound up going around the facility several times until I found a side road, and I just said, I'm taking up half the street and I'm parking on the curb here. You're not going to be able to tow away a 45-foot diesel. So I parked there, and then I took off for the night, and the next day I got up at 6 o'clock, and instead of going to get breakfast somewhere, I just pulled up into the building. I was one of the first people there. I backed all the way in nice and easy and good to go. So that was that, but normally it's not that convenient. So sometimes you just have to have your way. And as you said, I'm 7'4". So when people try to tell me to move, well, I'm not moving.
Yeah, I get that. Well, sometimes we roll in with a trailer on, we're 85 feet and I park it where I say I'm going to park it and it stays there. We never leave the property. Like, this is the way to do it. Get there before it all starts, park the thing, get parked in or whatever. We're not moving. That's the way it stays. So just a little FYI coming down the road here, dragging something along with you. So, buddy, it is good to have you here finally. I mentioned that Donald Trump has respected and also validated your work in these election theft cycles, where you can see the analytics, you being the intelligence world. These are things that you do, and now you're bringing that Army intel experience out here into this world and fighting another war different than what you fought in the past. And obviously this is more important war than any battlefield you've been on in your whole life. Let's talk a little bit about these elections that just happened. I know you're not surprised. I'm not surprised. I said on that Branson stage, it's going to happen. The election will go off. They're going to steal it. That's what they do. So you've seen what happened in the recent days. I mean, you look what, I guess it was today that the media and whoever declared Hobbs the winner in Arizona, when clearly Kerry Lake avalanched it, other states, Republican candidates avalanched it. And now, Seth, we have Republican establishment leadership saying it's just time to move on. Mike Pompeo, people like that. Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys here?
It's really obvious today. Look at a couple concessions that came in today. Adam Laxalt for Senate in Nevada, who spent the last week talking about how far ahead they were and how they're guaranteed to be the next U.S. Senator from Nevada. Oh, but she actually can win if she gets 63% of the remaining absentees. Well, here comes 64% of the remaining absentees. And then, of course, we had Blake Masters concede in Arizona, which, of course, you could have at least held off for a while because his concession validates the top of the ticket nonsense that has now altered the direction, really, of the state of Arizona for the foreseeable future. And I'm not going to go ahead and say that there's not going to be any change, because there is. Carrie Lake's campaign is going to fight and push back. I just know that from the precedent set in 2020, in which these cases were chunked without calling a single witness, it is a steep uphill battle. All of my predictions for the midterms had an asterisk next to them. And that asterisk was for, if these are quasi-fair, these are my picks. Because 2016, I would call a quasi-election, a quasi-fair election. It could still be won. But it had to be won by going into states that haven't been won for three decades. And now they fortified those states. Those are in the industrial Midwest primarily. But all of my predictions have to be asterisked now because of all the institutionalized election manipulation. And some of it is from loosening up of the laws. But of course, you have just straight up, we're going to make a computerized total. So you have manual election fraud and you have digital election fraud. And they both run together and they hinge on corrupted voter rolls all throughout the states. So things are so dire right now in presidential election world that I would see only 176 guaranteed electoral votes on the table in 2024. Guaranteed Republican electoral votes. Now, likely more than that, but 176 states where I see no, or votes where I see absolutely no chance for them to be blue electoral votes. That's not many.
Yeah. Well, this is a statistic or even a dynamic in elective politics that jumps out and punches you right in the face. Most people don't know or understand this. But you have the only Republican that won across the state of Arizona was the criminal, Lombardo, the former sheriff, who helped the FBI cover up the massacre in Las Vegas where they slaughtered 52 people on that battlefield, shot 650 and countless others murdered after the fact because they were coming forward and saying, look, we were there. We were being shot at from multiple directions. Every time we changed directions, avoid gunfire, we ran into more gunfire. And so he stood up there with the FBI behind his back, those goons, and he made a complete ass of himself. And everybody knew he's lying his ass off, so much so that Mindy Robinson, after a campaign event, which everybody booed him at, his own campaign event, and she called him out, going to his vehicle, and she said, you piece of shit. Who is in that meeting room, blah, blah, blah. And he turned around to her and he goes, your family, like a big threat he made to her, because she came right out and said, you're a piece of shit, right to his face, getting in trouble. So here we have that Republican going up against the governor who he's donated his campaign money to, Sisolak, who murdered countless people during the COVID bioweapon release and forcing all these people into these senior citizens' homes. Didn't outlaw anything. You can't be a governor and outlaw anything, but he just blocked HCQ ivermectin to save the lives of many people. He's running against that guy, right? That guy easily makes a concession. Why? Because they likely got him out of the way, Sisolak, prior to any crimes coming down on top of him for the murders. In my opinion, it's like the cover there, but every Republican loses down ballot. You can look at the election cycle for the last 80 years, probably 60 years, and you can clearly see if a Republican wins by a certain margin or a great margin, down ballot, virtually all of them come in right about in that range, percentage point, because people say, I'm a Republican, I'm voting for this guy, values basically the same. This guy is so unpopular in Nevada. The police hate him on the police force, and he's the sheriff. I've talked to him myself. The state hates the guy, Clark County. Yet he actually wins there. He was responsible for forcing all the massacre, forcing these vaccinations and masks on people. Yet he wins the governor's race, but every other single Republican loses. How do you explain that?
You can't. I think that Lombardo's election is a consolation prize just for the narrative of actually there's not election fraud in favor of any one party because look, we have a Republican governor now in Nevada replacing a Democrat. And I'm pretty sure, just from the top of my head, that that's the only blue to red governor flip. There are red to blue governor flips on the map. Now, of course, there are some local things that go into these elections. But yes, it's interesting to me that that's the one race. Now in Arizona, they have a race as well. The treasurer, Kimberly Yee, won her race for re-election by almost 12 points. At least that's the numbers right now. They're not fully certified. That's more than a quarter million votes. So what that means is there was a massive Republican tidal wave that showed up on election day, more than 3-1 in favor of the Republican Party, specifically because the voters did not trust mail-in voting to get their vote tabulated. So they showed up and dropped off these ballots, or they voted there in person. Also, they could give their treasurer a massive re-election win, but vote against Kari Lake, Blake Masters, Mark Fincham, and Abe Hamada. That is not happening. Katie Hobbs did not campaign. Katie Hobbs presided over a corrupt election in 2020. She wouldn't even debate Kari Lake. And you're trying to tell me that this is the result in a Joe Biden midterm. People have completely forgotten that in politics, all of our elections have certain baselines and indicators. Presidential elections are, of course, different than midterm elections. In midterms, the president's party,
almost party, always loses seats in both chambers. Almost
there's
every
a massive
midterm.
Headwind.
You know what, Seth? I just jumped on front of you because I knew this, you were going to say that. The only time in modern history where that did not happen was under George W. Bush. George
in
W. 02. Bush. Gained,
yes.
Gained seats in the House and the Senate, which was such an unbelievable anomaly that that actually happened, that we were like, how the hell did that happen? That's historical, because off your election from the presidency, that party in the White House loses seats across the board. It's never pretty either.
Well, so I believe that the modern level of an election manipulation began. I'm not saying, I think that there's been fraud in every election since people could vote. And that's why we have all the legends of Boss Tweed and all the issues throughout the major cities, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York. There's been fraud in Philadelphia since Benjamin Franklin lived there. But as far as the ability to pull it off at a massive scale, and I'm not talking about, you know, so-and-so showed up to vote twice, but I mean like substantial fraud that can impact the percentages and the winners of races. That, I believe, happened in the beginning, starting in 2018. Because the turnout numbers for the 2018 midterm are absolutely stupid in a 50-year historical context. And I believe deprived President Trump of a larger House majority and also of about 61 Senate seats to start 2019. We didn't notice it because the only politician that people cared about was President Trump, and he was not removed from office in 2019. And the House, of course, lost Republican seats, and that jives with the standard midterm political behavior. So nobody really thought of it. It was just kind of like, wow, that was a close call in Texas. Well, no kidding. You know, we lost a Senate seat in Arizona. Well, no kidding. Even though Republicans absolutely turned out in 2018, which kind of went with the 2002 narrative, the Republicans should have dominated with a red wave in 2018. And what that tells you is, if you're really depressed about the current state of elections, which you have every right to be, I'm just not surprised. I'm a little bit like you. I'm irritated, because there's a lot of people that should have been elected. But I'm not really surprised. But if you're upset about the current state of elections, the reason that they are this way is because the ideology of America First is winning. So America First is winning the hearts and minds, and it was needed in 2018 to repel a massive majority in the House and Senate that would have confirmed to the country that America First was the right path. So there's your first step, 2018. Then 2020 is step two, to deny a second term to President Trump, because his economic policies in particular were reorienting the world, or United States, away from the world's policy of globalism and bringing back our resources and building back our economy and our infrastructure. And had he been another 4 years in office, he would have absolutely broken China off and completely made America stand head and shoulders above the rest of the world. So that was step number two. And then step number three, this is pretty much, here's the confirmation that your ideology of America First is invalid and you need to return to the established political creature. Wait until the final votes are in for this 2022 midterm, and you will find at least 55 million Republican votes in the House, which is going to be 5 million plus over what it was in 2018, with stupid levels of artificial turnout. So what it means is the Republicans and Trump's people showed up to vote, even for these horrific rhinos, showed up to vote in both midterms. So this is completely a demoralization campaign, and unfortunately it is working on a lot of people that don't view this as a lifelong fight against tyrants.
You know, it's interesting, and I think people are going to come to a conclusion one way or another. But here's how the world of politics has worked, specifically in the recent past, with the Khazarian mobsters better at maintaining control of power than any entity on the planet for 1,400 years. So here's an example. I've been watching people fawn over Ron DeSantis like he's the new President Trump. They're trying to push him, the media and the rhinos, that he's now the leader of the Republican Party. You know, I'm like, cut the bullshit. I don't care all of these baseline victories that he delivers in Florida, the mask, this and that, right? But all you got to do is look at one piece of legislation, just one. Early in the summer or late in the spring, whichever it was, in legislation to be signed was buried the government's right to force quarantine and force vaccinate given certain health emergency conditions. So here you have a guy who also voted with the cabal powers in D.C. about 90% of the time. Everybody's fawning, everybody I know, fawning all over DeSantis. I'm like, stop it. If you're looking at a short-term perspective, same with Abbott here in Texas, same with Abbott. All this bullshit about being conservative, millions of people pouring across these borders, and Abbott won't shut it down. Any governor can shut their state border down. Piece of cake, shut it down. Send a state guard and shut it down. Yet they'll allow 366,000 unaccompanied minors to come over those borders, trucked into these cities, bust in, flown in, turned loose, and disappear for what? The child sex satanic ritual abuse, murder, torture, adrenochrome machine that they got to feed because it's a vast industry that Trump choked out, number one. And number two, their cash cows of drugs coming across the border were shut down with 500 miles of that wall. So what does Abbott do one day to try to throw a bone to all the conservatives? What does he do? Takes a bunch of these illegals that come across the border, captured them. I'm going to show those people in Washington, D.C. I'm going to bust them to D.C. and unload them in their city. People are jumping up and down and cheering. I'm like, what in the hell do you people not get? He simply did what they do. Instead of the federal government flying planes into D.C. or Chicago or Minneapolis, all these illegals, he says, watch what I do. I'm going to punch him right in the face. I'm going to truck him right to Washington, D.C. Are you kidding me? What do you think was coming out of the White House when it's been completely dark since the election of 2020? And one night, it's all lit up, and police cars are there, and little kids are coming out of the White House with blankets on them because they're taking down the trafficking tunnels underneath the White House. The whole world saw it. And so here we have Texans. Yeah, he's kicking ass. Kicking ass? He's a criminal. He's allowing this shit to happen. Anyways, here I'm getting a little fired up. But all these people, they have to understand how these Khazarian mobsters work. They're going to give you all these little victories here and there. George W. Bush, same bullshit, right? Same bullshit. What do we end up with George W. Bush, the conservative? The biggest spending since LBJ, prescription drug program, annihilation of human societies around the world, murdering people all over, soldiers that are living on the streets, legs blown off, lives destroyed everywhere. What did he give us? Engineered economy to be destroyed for Obama to come in and finish that off. Republicans got to pull their heads out of their asses, and I don't know when they're going to do it. These guys are so good. They will build a socialist candidate for a decade if they have to. Bring him through American politics sounding like a Republican or turning him in that direction, just like Bush, quote unquote, was going to become a full-blown alcoholic all his life, to meeting with Jimmy or Billy Graham and changing his whole life around. That kind of bullshit. And then when it really counts for them to send the hayside to our knees, that's what they do. People have to understand all of it is controlled by a silent entity or a faction behind closed doors, truly the wizard, that they see this game. And so they're like, how do we get this guy into a Republican seat as a governor or whatever? They strategize the whole thing. How do we have cabal players in the highest brass in the military? Because they're built from the ground up. This is the career track you're taking on. They're already captured. As they're young, they bring them up the whole way through. You act this way until we tell you when you get to the top. Now your alliances are going to be activated. People think that this is simply a fiction movie. It isn't. It's exactly how we have become a captured entity. This is why Seth, years ago, in his 20s, maybe 30s, I forget, when Ayn Rand came to the United States from Russia, because she wanted to be a Hollywood screenwriter, she became the most prominent philosopher of the 20th century, the objectivist philosopher. I've read of all of her work. In 1920 or 30, here's what she said. She said, the true evil in America are not the liberals, it's the conservatives. And I was shocked when I, like, what? Well, here is her rationale. She said, the evil is the conservatives, because the liberals will tell you right to your face, if you vote for us, you vote for me, I'm going to socialize this country. What do Republicans do? You vote for me, I'm going to make sure that shit never happens. What's happened in the last 100 years? 94 revolution, Republican revolution. What did we end up with? Gingrich making deals with the Democrats until they ran them out, right? The Tea Party came roaring back in 2012, blew me away, all the Tea Party candidates, 83 of them. First vote, they all ran on, we're going to stand line on this spending bullshit. I'm not backing up on it. 83 of them, their very first vote in January 2013 was an appropriations bill in the House, smashing the budget. 67 out of 83 of these bastards voted for it when they said, I'm not backing up. And we could do this all day, because this is what the Republicans do. A captured operation, a whole crew of bullshitters. And that's why my friends are like up in arms. I'm like,
that's why the Republican Party was dead. The Republican Party was dead in 2015 because of stuff like that. Most of the people that ran under the Tea Party flag were not actually sympathetic for the Tea Party's goals. They knew what side the bread was buttered on, and they knew that they needed to run with an agenda like that. Really, the number one guy I call out for that is Ben Sasse. Ben Sasse is the former senator for Nebraska who resigned. Is resigning. Is he out yet? But he ran on hardcore Tea Party 2014, got in there, and he was one of the first seated senators to go after President Trump, candidate Trump at the time. And the mission should have been, we need to prevent Hillary Clinton from becoming president. And that's when the Republican Party truly showed their hand to everybody. Now, I was just barely 30 years old in 2015. So I came of age politically watching that episode with Donald Trump, even though I'd been a right winger my entire adult life. So it's very obvious that that these are posers and fakers. And the more they get these elections where they concede right away, you know, if you lose an election legitimately and you know you've lost legitimately and give it the appropriate time to certify a result, concede the race. But the point is, if you know that the rest of the race in a state is riddled with issues, I don't care how many issues. I don't care if it wouldn't swing the result or not. Any disenfranchised vote is a disenfranchised vote. And you mentioned the military. The military, of course, has been tailored to be what it is today. I remember when I was a lieutenant in 2008, there were people that were perfect tailor-made generals that were lieutenant colonels and colonels that were retiring, and you talk to them and they'd say, well, there's no room for my type in the top brass anymore because it became so politicized that all the generals were yes men instead of generals like Jaron Jackson or people that are modern day heroes. We don't have that at the top anymore. So that's what I like to caution everybody when they have so many expectations about the military. Well, the military is not really what you think it is everywhere. And a lot of your really aggressive, patriotic young officers and NCOs get out when they smell the coffee. And they realize, number one, I realized the foreign policy goals of our country were not aligned with what I wanted to have. I didn't want to spend the rest of my young years in a place we didn't have any chance to win in. And I didn't believe in the mission. And a lot of people feel like that. And then you realize that you're only promoted on a generic timeline rather than how good you are, or rather what kind of a leader you are. So you're going to be the same rank as everyone else for the same amount of time until you kiss enough butts to make it to the top. Oh, and then if you want to go really high, you better have the right ideology and hope that you have the right ideology when the correct president is in office, or you're going to be a retired colonel or master sergeant or whatever you are. So they have completely politicized the military. It was going woke when I got out in 2013. And now, looking back, we were like a rock-ribbed army of Spartans in 2013 compared to what they have today. We have pronoun training while our enemies train to sink our ships and shoot down our aircraft and destroy our armor. That's the modern day military.
It really is hard to get your hands around, buddy, get your head around that that's what the military is. You know, under Obama, he fired 235 of the top level brass in the country. We're talking battle hardened generals. Fired these guys across the board, upper level brass, colonels. And you know what? He stacked the deck in the military with all these Ivy League bookworm type of generals. No battle experience, just all academics, all ideologues, politicians, for, you know, to speak. That's what the Pentagon is. It's loaded with politicians wearing military uniforms. These are the TV generals that you see out there. And a lot of those guys that are out there in this infiltration machine, you've seen generals on Fox News for years hammering away on the other side. That was their job. That was their role. Their ideologies on the other side. It's called controlled opposition. Look at Ralph Peters. Look how this guy flipped out of nowhere, attacking Trump like crazy, saying they put people like that in position because they show them to be extremely conservative in their philosophy of life. And they keep them on deck at the right time in case somebody comes in they need to use them for, then they activate them like Donald Trump, and a shitstorm coming from these generals against Donald Trump. Why? That was their military civilian role. It's kind of like the CIA. The CIA has openly admitted, look, we have agents and assets in every single profession there is. We have doctors. We have lawyers. We have administrators. We have CEOs. We've got this. We've got their CIA operatives, agents, and or assets in every profession in this country. And then they activate them whenever they need them, and they're made useful to carry out their agenda. Look how many former CIA agents run for Congress now. Look at the last election. Mountains of them. Why? This is a captured operation. It's being fortified by these Kazarian officers. That's why, again, a guy like you, if you would have read through all the Q intelligence drops in real time, you can go right now, read every single one of them. You can't draw any other conclusion. Specifically, if you lived them in real time as they were coming out, because there are 500 proofs of their legitimacy, future proofs, past, boom. Case in point, Epstein. Nobody on the planet, virtually speaking, knew who Epstein was. Nobody, none of us either. But we knew 8 months before the world did. When Epstein landed at Teterboro and the FBI arrested him, we went crazy because we knew what it meant, right? And I could go through all of this stuff. That operation the whole way through showed us who all of these bastards are and how that game is played. So much so that you can see the connections, the web, this narrow network of all of these people on both sides of the aisle, how they're all connected through marriage, through bloodline, through former employment, through employment, through promotion. It's a massive web. And that's why they said military is the only way. Military is the only way. Why? Politics is a captured operation. Stop thinking your vote and putting quote unquote the best people in there is going to save this country. If they're those people that can do it in a position of power, Seth, they're never getting there. They will not get there. I said this in 2004. I was managing a state assembly race in California. I was a precinct captain on the Bush campaign in Los Angeles. Angela Smart, you got to be a conservative working elective politics in a place like Los Angeles. And I was serving on the Central Committee. Guy asked me during the campaign, he said, Scott, he said, if you'd moved from Encino where you live to Glendale, California, and you'd run for that congressional seat, you could win that seat. And if you would make that move, he said, I can raise $10 million for that campaign. He's a very wealthy guy, businessman. And I said, I'm really flattered by that. I appreciate that. But I said, not really interested. He said, what the hell do you mean you're not interested? He said, everybody knows you're trying to work your way to Washington. And I said, well, I am. I said, my objective in my life is to get the United States Senate. I said, but I'm never setting foot inside that beltway unless I can do it on my own terms. He said, what are your terms? I said, when I have enough wealth that I create so no man owns me, that's why I'll never set foot in that beltway if I would be privileged to. Because once I get in there, as principled and stubborn as I am, they'll get me too. They will find a way to get me too. And all these idiots that go there from Podunkville, Kentucky, or Podunkville, Pennsylvania, where I grew up, who couldn't do anything else in the world to find a way to get elected, They go to DC, their asses are kissed, they're treated like Hollywood movie stars by the minions that chase them around, kissing their shoes and tell them how amazing they are. And then the other side saying, you're special, you're so important to the country. And then they're going to say, hey, I'm going to stand on principle. The buck stops right here. I don't give a shit what happens. Here's the way I'm voting. And like Ron Paul, and that's it. Guess what? They're like, no problem. We already raised $3 million to run against you for somebody, another Republican. What do they do? Okay. Whatever you say, I'm in. Why? They're not going back to Shitsville, USA, and to have a normal life when they have that. That's how they capture a lot of these people. So people, I'm telling you, if you expect American politicians to save this country, how in the fork do you think we got here in the first place? These scumbags. Sorry, Seth. My temperature's up a little bit today. They're not going to do it with these scumbag politicians or the election cycle or whatever. Ain't going to happen. Until the country explodes and millions of the people pour into the city streets, which Charlie Ward says, I can't believe they don't do that here in the U.S. I'm like, yeah, me too.
Well, I'm told that we can save the country if Herschel Walker wins the Georgia runoff. I'm guessing you don't believe
that.
All right.
All right. I concede my whole point that I just laid out. Let's go, Herschel. I love Herschel Walker.
No, I know. I've always loved him. Well, I understand, and that's really just where we are. The Georgia election doesn't make any sense either, but it's not as shocking of an outcome as what we have out west, which I've been screaming for 6 days now that what's going on in Arizona and Nevada is the most critical center of gravity for the entire midterm election. There's a Rubicon for these elections. That Rubicon is you declare victory in a fraudulent election before it's called by the press. And you create a different path for this to go about. Of course, you're going to be shouted down from the rooftops and condemned by your own party. But that was very obvious to me, remembering what they did just 2 short years ago in Arizona, that they knew the count. They know the total of votes thanks to sophisticated technology. They know, and really, before you get going, you can figure out about with probably within 100,000 votes where a candidate is going to fall on votes. So you already know you need to be within this 100,000 vote window. And then you can confirm that as the election day vote is coming in, which is heavily in favor of Republicans in Arizona, it's normally 2-1. For this election, it was more than 3-1 on election day. So they knew probably on the 8th or 9th how many votes Lake, Fincham, Masters, and Hamada had. And then they spent 5 days trickling out the vote like a ketchup bottle until we're going to call the election. Ta-da! Look what we got. And it was third world, and two-thirds of the country knows that. But is a scream in space a scream at all?
Obviously it's not. But again, you know, Seth, we keep talking about how this is a wake-up operation. People are going to have to wake up. We hear all the podcasters talking about the Great Awakening, and people have to wake up. So this is my show to call the podcasters. When the hell are you going to wake up? All of you thought this red wave meant that we're taking the country back, and we had a red wave. All the people I know and friends of mine who were texting me the last couple of days, what does that mean? They're bitching because none of these people will wake up. They're all texting me. I'm like, when are you going to wake up? What have I been saying? You guys keep thinking that these elections are what's going to save the country, right? Everybody count. Now they're all pissed off. And how can this happen? Why this? Why that? I'm like, I don't know what else to say. That's not going to happen. An election is not going to turn this country around. The exposure of the massive theft machine of this country and all the grotesqueness of the power structure and what it's done is the only thing that's going to matter. Why is everybody working for a political solution to this? There isn't one. I've been sitting here waiting for political solutions since 1990 when Clinton came on the scene to run against Bush in 92. That's when the whole world changed for me. So I've been waiting for 32 years. Guess what, folks? I didn't know then what I know now. There isn't a political solution. This is a captured country, has to be exposed, has to be brought down. So anyways, I don't know when I'm finally going to lose my breath session trying to drive this point home, even to my friends who are Republicans counting on this red wave's going to do it. No, it ain't. That's why I didn't watch it. It ain't going to happen.
Let me give you a perfect example of what you're talking about. Now, in Texas, Texas has not elected a Democrat to statewide office since 1994. And that was one Democrat. It was the lieutenant governor who was conservative enough that he endorsed George Bush for re-election in 1998. So it's been Bullock, 28 right? years. Bullock.
Bullock.
It's been 28. It's been 28 years since a Democrat won a statewide office in Texas. And it has been 20 years since the Democrats held a chamber of in Texas, the state house or the state Senate. So Texas has been completely Republican and at the chamber level and at the statewide level for 20 years. It's been at the executive state level, it's been Republican for 28 years. And we are still having rallies. We are having rallies in Texas called Save Texas. You have those in California, of course, and I think that the presumption is Save California, translation, make it a Republican state and not a Democrat state. Well, I have news for you. I am in an all-Republican state still. It actually had it was 11 points for Greg Abbott, which is not the former 20-point margins, but it's still pretty good for a huge state. So Texas seems to have trickled or probably been donated back to the Republican Party because they stitched up the Rust Belt. Everything that happens politically now is the result of a media narrative leading up to the election, and it always comes to pass since 2018. Hey, suburban women, this group of people, this marginalized group of people, that's the result that happens. I think that with Trump pulling a flanking maneuver on the elections in 2016, getting Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and almost grabbing Minnesota, flipping Ohio and Iowa, I think that was, hey, we're vulnerable in these states, fortify those states. And here's your 2018 midterms where they seat the secretaries of state and governors. And I think they have those states solidified now electorally. You have to create the illusion that the election system is competitive. Or first off, there's no money in the media for election coverage if it was a blowout one way or the other. So now you have Florida's mega Republican, Texas's okay Republican. I think that's where we are, but Texas has Save Texas rallies and it's all Republican. So the Republican Party absolutely, unfortunately, has been the vehicle for the America First movement. There's not a valid vehicle otherwise, and there's a lot of speculation about what the announcement is tonight. And I don't really care for predictions much. I think there's maybe three things I would expect to be discussed tonight. Widespread fraud will probably be discussed no matter what the announcement is. I don't know that it's some big reveal of it. Or there's the announcement of a presidential campaign, which is now what is being speculated in most of the media. And then the third option, some people have thought that maybe this is an announcement of the beginning of the end of the Republican Party, at least the RINO establishment. But the formation of a third party, there hasn't been a major third party in more than 100 years with the Bull Moose Party. And before that, when the Whigs were replaced with the Republican Party. So that is actually something that changes the course of American history, which is the hint in the presidential truce. So really, I don't like to speculate because I don't want to be big time wrong. But I don't know if tonight is going to be just as simple as I'm running for president, because we just had a major election that 2/3 of the country is not good with.
Well, you're right. I got to tell you, after having seen that tweet, that tonight's announcement is going to be, or today's going to turn out to be one of the most important days in American history. It better be an absolute daisy cutter bomb that Trump drops on this country, because anything less than that, it's going to be like, again, really? Like, this is what you're saying is going to be the most important. Now, again, I have full trust in President Trump. I had a couple conversation with a couple of people on one of my text threads. I'm like, look, it's kind of like this. This is how my discernment comes from this philosophy. Your actions speak so loudly, I can hardly hear what you're saying. Donald Trump is the only political figure outside of Reagan in my lifetime, but I wasn't connected to elective politics then or even paying really close attention. Donald Trump wasn't the only guy who went up against the powers that are destroying humanity. He took a damn wrecking ball to them and crushed them on all fronts. I only need to know one thing. Donald Trump is a guy that has my vote under virtually any and all circumstances. The rest of these clowns, no faith in them, no belief in them. I've seen too many Cinderellas coming into the dance looking like, that's the one, I want to get a dance with that one. And it turns out to be the Wicked Witch. time and time and time and time and time again with these politicians. So I hope people don't have to go as long as I did before I finally figured that shit out. Because that means, folks, you only have another 15, maybe 20 years of this frustration before you get it. Because it took me about 30 before I finally got it. And I absolutely, maybe not that long, maybe only 26 to 25, 6 years. So it won't be as long as I thought. But that's what you're facing if you think that you're going to have a Cinderella candidate that isn't Donald Trump. It's going to make it all happen. I'm just going to say, and I'll draw the line, it ain't going to happen. There's one guy that put everything on the line and kicked the living shit out of this machine. So to me, there is nobody else. I don't care who they put in that the presidency, the commander-in-chief, whatever it is. I know one other guy, RJG is the only other guy that I know of that based on what he's willing to do with his own life to try to save this country, I would say, okay, that would be the other guy, but the world doesn't know much about him yet.
Well, it's pretty clear that President Trump is the driving force really for the election integrity movement where I come from. We had the case to start the election integrity movement 4 years ago. But nobody knew that 2018 was what it was because 2020 was what it took to awaken a lot of people. Now, I do not like cope mechanisms at all. And I took a little bit of heat the other day before we even knew what was going to happen in Arizona for sure. I realized on election night, just like in 2020, Florida went big. And then right after Florida went big, they immediately called the Pennsylvania governor's race with a massive margin. And that margin is way too big to be organic in a Biden midterm. And to assume that the Pennsylvania Democrats got half of the non-college white vote, which is Trump's bread and butter demographic in the industrial Midwest, is nonsense. Now, with that said, they called it immediately, and I suspected that it was back on, where this was going to be Republicans are going to – I thought the Republicans would win both chambers. They're going to get one. And it's going to be such a flimsy majority that you really won't be able to do anything with it. So you're back to playing politics. Well, at least we got the House. And it's a little bit disappointing because the indicators for this election look like 1994, which you have Bill Clinton had issues with policy, issues with character, and the Republican Party came out, blew everything up, contract with America, won New York, won Washington, won Minnesota, won all this blue stuff. And one California and everything now is locked down with the blue states. But this should have been a huge election win. And even on election night, it was looking like a drizzle. And it's even worse because they targeted the most important candidates on the battlefield and to this point have taken those races down. Now, I am hopeful that one day some of these challenges, because the challenge in Arizona should absolutely be upheld. That is a disenfranchisement issue. That is a voter suppression issue, regardless of what we think the final tallies ought to look like. You cannot disenfranchise 30% of the vote on election day and get away with it, of course, unless you're the pre-chosen candidates to govern Arizona and turn it into a more hot, mountainous version of Southern California.
Well, I don't know, my friend. All I can say is it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the coming days, coming weeks. It looks like there's an aggressive assault coming on Arizona by Michelle Swinnick and a number of people that are ready to do battle. Carrie Lake, Wendy Rogers. There's some real battlefield soldiers out there that are ready to take the fight to the enemy finally on this election fraud stuff. So maybe we'll see something where these folks get activated and there's actually something that's going to transpire. But let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. My friend, it was a great pleasure to finally have you on Patriot Street Fighter. I guess I won't be seeing – well, I'm going to be seeing you before we get up to Nashville in January because you only live an hour away. So I'll definitely reach out, connect with you, and we'll have some Budweiser politics conversations sometime here in the near future.
Gotcha. Well, hey, it's been great to finally be on the show and be in front of your audience. Yeah. If you guys want to keep up with me, I'm at Real S. Keschel on Truth and Telegram and my Substack, skeschel.substack.com. Hello, Jacqueline. So it's good to see you, and let me know when you want to get together.
Hosting Operation Tomahawk Zoom room tonight. I am.
Sorry about that. I had another.
What happened to the audio? I had your audio, but yeah, something happened.
I got somebody. I'm trying to mute out a waiting Zoom, and they're in here talking. They're not supposed to be yet. Anyways, what did you? Oh, yes, folks. By the way, everything Seth just told you to follow him. You can look down in the description. You'll see it all right there. Make sure you connect with him. Make sure you follow his work. Because he's one of the most important voices in election integrity right now in the country. And stay on top of his analysis, because you'll have a pretty good idea what's going to happen. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Patriot Street.
Jacqueline, Fighter. Do you know how to toggle your mic on it?
Mr. Keschel, it's great to see you. Patriot Street Fighter.
All right, Scott.